This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. If you have dreamed of owning a property in Israel, close to the sea or close to the center of Tel Aviv, now is your chance to make it a reality. The Blue Agency is happy to announce that they are in South Africa to discuss new property opportunities in Israel. For a private meeting with Barry Cohen to discuss your Israeli property or any Israeli property needs, WhatsApp him on 076-577-2000. That's 076-577-2000. The Blue Agency. Your Israeli property is in good hands.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, it's been an active night in Israel. I was going to say, I don't know what you guys were doing at 4 o'clock in the morning, Howard,
well,
but
I'll
know
tell
it's
you
dangerous
what I was
to
doing.
Ask you that question because you were probably already having lunch by then.
No, I was debating whether to message my kids to say, is everybody okay? And I thought, well, you know, I don't think they need to hear from me at 4 this morning.
Well, we certainly heard from the Houthis at 4 o'clock this morning,
right.
With many, many people in central Israel sent to bomb shelters. It's been the first time for some months that people in central Israel have been sent to bomb shelters. So it kind of brought back some of the memories of some of the other nights that we'd been sent to our bomb shelters. But obviously, the official announcement from the Houthis said that they sent a Palestine 2 hypersonic ballistic missile. That's the name of the missile, Palestine 2, towards, they say, Ben Gurion Airport.
Oh, wow.
That was the target, and that its objective was achieved, whatever that might mean. What it means to us is that many people in central Israel were in their bomb shelters at 4 in the morning, that air traffic towards Ben Gurion Airport, we understand, was diverted for a short period of time. The Air Force, we are told, successfully intercepted the incoming ballistic missile before it entered Israeli airspace. And in fact, the missile that we spoke about yesterday, I understand, had been intercepted over Saudi Arabia, which makes for some interesting thinking and discussion. But Israelis were once again sent to bomb shelters for fear that shrapnel might cause damage or hurt people. We have no idea where the bits of this missile might fall,
right,
given the speed with which it's incoming and the force of the interception. It's hard to know exactly where the outfall will be, but we understand that there was no outfall in Israel. The interesting thing for me was that the Prime Minister, I'm told, was asked whether the Houthis would be made to pay. And he was asked this at 4 o'clock in the morning when apparently he was in a Knesset meeting taken to his bomb shelter as the sirens blared in Jerusalem as well. Apparently, he was up and about and was able to answer the question by saying the Houthis are already paying, which means that effectively the United States is doing a lot of work to attack the Houthis in Yemen. And I do wonder whether Israel may be inclined to get more directly involved and whether by Israel getting more directly involved, whether there's actually anything different that can be done to somehow try to disable the Houthis. Every pronouncement made by President Trump about the U.S. Army activities in Yemen seem to be more and more determined and more threatening, and we will not leave any stone unturned, and we will blast things, and we will make sure that they're completely disabled and the Houthis are removed from whatever power they have, and, you know, lots and lots of threats like that. So it seems as if, though, the U.S. intention is pretty fierce, and I'm not sure that Israel would, in military terms, be able to necessarily do any more or any better than what the U.S. is already doing. The question is whether politically it might make sense for Israel to get involved, given that Israel is being directly targeted, to show that we will respond to any targets that are sent to us directly. But at this stage of the game, I don't think that we can really draw much separation between what the U.S. is doing and what Israel would do. I think that it's all one and the same thing. And I'm not sure that Israel getting directly involved would make any strong political statement, but I'm sure people listening out there have their views, and I think it would be interesting to hear. Yeah. But at the moment, my view is that Israel probably will not respond to this, to leave the work to the USA, which I think is okay. We've got enough on our plate as it is. But it seems as if though we might well be in for a period of time until the Houthis are entirely disabled, that they will try to use it or lose it, because I think they might fear that some of their Palestine 2 hypersonic ballistic missiles may be destroyed by U.S. attacks, and so they might as well use them and make a point to do something useful with them from their perspective, rather than just allow them to be destroyed. And I suspect that that's what we're seeing here.
Didn't the United States warn Iran that they would hold them responsible for actions, anything that the Houthis have done? Doesn't this now, considering they sent this type of missile, put Donald Trump and his administration under pressure to act directly against Iran?
It's interesting because the latest announcement, the latest social media post made by President Trump addressed Iran specifically and its support of the Houthis, but went even a little deeper and more specific, talking about the way in which Iran has been supplying and providing equipment to the Houthis, and spoke about the fact that Iran would need to stop all of that. And so I think what we're seeing here is, instead of making some general statements about Iran supporting the Houthis, and if the Houthis do anything, Iran will automatically be held responsible, now there's an attempt to really drill down a little deeper and to be a little more specific about how Iran is supporting the Houthis, and to threaten those actions rather than to make Iran responsible for whatever the Houthis do. And so I think that there's been an attempt to somehow elegantly withdraw from the threat to hold Iran responsible for every Houthi action, and just now to say to Iran, we're holding you responsible for your actions, and to the extent that we pick up the supply of weapons and of services and of cash and whatever it is to the Houthis, we will hold you responsible for that. What the Houthis do with what they have right now is kind of not going to be attributed to Iran, at least that's the way that I interpret this slightly new direction.
Right. And it's just, it's going to be very interesting, of course, to see what happens. Israel continues to operate in the Gaza Strip. Hamas has hardened its position on hostages. Which direction are we heading in here?
So I think there are a few interesting things that are worth pointing out at this stage. First of all, the pressure that's being put on Hamas in Gaza to release hostages, to show them up to be not worthy leaders in the eyes of other residents of Gaza, and ultimately to remove them from power, the pressure that's being put on is unmistakable. And it started with the attacks that we spoke about yesterday in those 10 minutes in the early hours of Tuesday morning, when many of the middle and senior Hamas leadership level were surprised and many of them were killed. Now what's been happening is that Israel has been moving people away from the border area with Israel further towards the western side of Gaza. There's been talk about tanks lining up along the border to re-enter Gaza. There's been talk about the main thoroughfare that goes from north to south in the Gaza Strip, and people are being told to evacuate from there. It looks like Israel may well try once again to divide Gaza up, and that would require forces on the ground. An interesting threat that the Prime Minister has made is that Israel will annex 5% of the Gaza Strip for every remaining hostage who is harmed. That's a threat that the Prime Minister made. And this whole concept of annexation is highly controversial. But I think that right now, the Israeli government and the IDF feel that they have a very strong ally in the United States, and they're able really to put a lot of pressure on Hamas. Hamas, as you mentioned, has hardened its position on the hostages and, of course, will point fingers in Israel saying genocide and apartheid and all the negative terminology that's being thrown at the IDF and at Israel for its activities in Gaza. But I'd like just to remind listeners that there is a very, very simple way to end this conflict right away. There has been for the last 17 months, and there continues to be an easy way to end the conflict. And the easy way is to allow the 59 hostages to come home. And the moment that is done, that is something that is a gift that is within Hamas's hands, and they're able to make it happen, as we saw. They're able to make it happen pretty much right away or within the space of a few days. And if that was made to come true and they were willing to do that, this would put an end to the conflict entirely.
Right.
We understand out of the 59 hostages that 22 of them are alive. So in theory, if each of the 22 of them are harmed, and according to the threat of annexing 5% of Gaza for every hostage who is harmed, that would mean Israel would effectively take back the entire Gaza Strip if none of those hostages came back unharmed. They're already harmed. We know that. When we say harmed, I'm guessing that we're talking about keeping them alive or not. And the whole concept of annexing land is a very, very sensitive point within Arabic culture and within Muslim culture, particularly amongst the jihadists, those who are Islamists. And it makes Hamas, if you could imagine a situation where Hamas come out of this war with less land than they went into the war, that would really threaten their dignity and that would make them look a little ridiculous. So there is a view that this threat of annexing land might well have a certain pressure point that works within Hamas, because, of course, the intention of the war was to conquer Israel rather than to lose their own land. So that would be somewhat humiliating for them if they were to come out with less land. I'm not sure that Israel will actually exercise that
threat
to annex land.
Well, that's the whole thing. And in a negotiation towards the end, it'll probably be something that'll be used to find a way forward. So it'll be, I guess when you spoke about it, I thought, is that really a thing? But, I guess you're right that if you come out of the war with less land than you went into it, you certainly can't argue that you have succeeded. Let's just talk, we don't have a lot of time, but I just do want to ask you about Qatar Gate. What is this? What's going on?
Well, yesterday was a very, very controversial day when an Israeli businessman came out declaring that he had somehow facilitated money that originally came from an American lobbyist on behalf of Qatar to pay for a lobbyist in the prime minister's office. The lobbyist is Eli Feldstein. That name has been made public. And he apparently, his salary, we understand, was paid by money that came from an American lobbyist that came through this Israeli businessman, Gil Berger, but originated in Qatar. Now, this has major implications for so many different aspects of Israeli society, if indeed it is proved to be true, because now we have got people on record, recorded conversations, admitting to the fact that Qatari money somehow was brought through to pay for people working in the prime minister's office. So the questions just fly out from every corner. Why is somebody in the prime minister's office not being paid by the government? Why is he being paid by an Israeli businessman? Why is he being paid by Qatar money, if indeed that is the situation? This Eli Feldstein is, of course, already controversial because he's been indicted for allegedly leaking classified information from within the prime minister's office, which would have the intent of potentially harming state security. He's been accused of releasing information about hostage negotiations to a German newspaper. And the implications are that the prime minister was the one who had encouraged him to release this information in order to somehow present the Israeli government in a certain way with regard to hostage negotiations. So there is already a major story brewing there. So all of this really just looks terrible in every possible respect. The individual himself probably didn't know that the money came from Qatar, but he certainly knew that he wasn't being paid by the government, that he was being paid by somebody else. So there is a question. The Prime Minister, of course, has come out fighting back, talking about deep state. This deep state statement
made me very nervous when he said that, I have to say.
Yeah, so I actually had to look up deep state, I'll be honest, Howard. and I'm traditionally a sort of an Oxford guy, and I look up what deep state is. And they say that deep state is about elements within the government that somehow try to influence a government policy and government actions. But actually, when you go to the latest ChatGPT and you ask them what deep state is, then they talk about undermining democracy and going kind of deeper. So the Prime Minister made this very alarming statement about U.S. and Israeli government being challenged by deep state. And he immediately draws the U.S. Experiences into this, implying leftists are trying somehow to undermine the Israeli government. This is a really not good story. And it doesn't matter how this falls out, it's not going to look good for anybody. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but there's a lot still that we're going to talk about as far as the story is concerned.
And we'll do that next week. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Thank you for another week of brilliant reporting. We will chat to you on Monday morning at 7:45 for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. If you have dreamed of owning a property in Israel, close to the sea or close to the center of Tel Aviv, now is your chance to make it a reality. The Blue Agency is happy to announce that they are in South Africa to discuss new property opportunities in Israel. For a private meeting with Barry Cohen to discuss your Israeli property or any Israeli property needs, WhatsApp him on 076-577-2000. That's 076-577-2000. The Blue Agency, your Israeli property is in good hands.